I want you to turn to Luke, the last chapter, verse 24. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father. Or I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. I have taken a theme text for 1964, Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That text was given by the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary immediately after he had explained to her that she would receive and be the mother of the Savior. The angel had asked her to accept and believe a stupendous miracle. He had told her that the Holy Ghost would come over her, and that holy thing which would be born of her would be called the Son of God. He asked her to believe something which was physically and humanly impossible. And yet, when the angel explained to her how it would be, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Perfect submission in the presence of an all-powerful God who had designed and purposed to bring a Redeemer to the human race, who would lift us up out of sin and deliver us from death. A stupendous, stupendous miracle she was asked to believe, and she believed it. Not only did she believe it, but she submitted herself into the hands of God that he might accomplish it. And she was his instrument in bringing into this world Jesus Christ, our Savior. Then it was that Gabriel said, "With man this is impossible. For with God," he says, "nothing shall be impossible." I've tried to emphasize for you in these last few messages that we're dealing with the Christian religion, which is supernatural through and through. You can't understand it unless you deal with power. You can't receive it unless you accept the miracle of the new birth, and that's beyond the realm of man even to understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. There has to be a new birth. There has to be a miracle. Jesus Christ's entrance was by a miracle. His resurrection was a miracle. The gospel which we preach works miracles, and it brings men into the knowledge of the Son of God. And so I thought that we'd develop this a little further in order that we could see the relationship of this power and of this miracle to ourselves. When we come to the end of the book of Luke, from which we read tonight, we find our Savior being raised from the dead. We find him there in the presence of his disciples, revealing his hands and his feet and eating fish with them. And they knew him and they recognized him. And then he tells them that they must go over to Jerusalem and tarry there. "You just wait here in Jerusalem," he says. "I'll be gone, but when I'm gone, I'll send you the Holy Spirit." And he says, "You will be endued. You will have put down upon you some power. And when you receive this power from on high," he says, "then you're going to go out and you'll be my servants." Jesus Christ knew that his disciples were powerless unless they had his power. He knew that they couldn't proceed to carry on his work unless he gave them a special power which would come from heaven. Now, what I propose to do tonight in this message is to take Luke, just Luke alone. It's in the Luke that we have this text, Luke 1:37. And it's in Luke that we have the account of the virgin birth. And I want to take just the writings of Luke. We have the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Both of them are written by him. And I want to follow this word power through Luke and come up with Luke's understanding of what it means. Now, the word power is translated in the Bible in various ways, but there are two words that are used for power. And one of them comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means action, action. The other comes from the Greek word exousia, which means right or authority. Now, here are two words. They're both translated power in the New Testament. And unless you know your Greek and check back, you won't always understand which word's being used. But both words are used by Luke. And it's the word dunamis, which means action, 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 that's used in our text. And I want to pick that up because this is the word I'm going to tie in now with the virgin birth and with the theme text that we've taken for the year. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to take things like this and run them through the Bible and just see how they come up and the wonderful accent and emphasis that there is upon it. Jesus Christ said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." Well, he was talking there about his authority. He's got all authority in heaven and earth, and he can do what he wants to. But in this text which we've taken tonight, ye shall be endued with power. He was not speaking of authority, but he was speaking that they would have that which would produce action, that which would bring about results. "You tarry in Jerusalem," he said, "and till you have received this power from on high. And when it comes on you, you'll be able to go out and you'll be able to preach and you'll be able to carry on your ministry, and I'll be with you. And you'll have the power of God accompanying your work." So what I propose to do in order to bring this message out so you can see the tremendous emphasis upon power and our dependence upon power, we're going to take just the word dunamis. We'll leave the other word authority to one side. We may run into a passage where both words are used in the same sentence. And if we do that, I'll show that to you. But what I want you to see at this point, that Jesus Christ uses the word power in the sense that we are to be active. Action is to take place. "Ye shall be endued with that power from on high, which will enable you to do things, to get busy, to be working, to be a witness, and to carry on my work in my behalf." And that's what he means here by this word power. We get a number of our words from the Greek word dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. And we all know the illustration of how dynamite explodes and blows things to pieces. Well, believe me, when the gospel gets a hold of a man, it explodes and it blows things to pieces so far as he's concerned. It makes a new creature out of it. But will you turn with me first to the gospel according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And then verse 37, I'm going to tie these things together for you. And you'll see the tremendous emphasis upon this power in the work, in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now in the 31st verse of chapter 1, Gabriel says unto Mary, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the what? Power of the highest shall overshadow thee." And the Greek word used in that sentence is identically the same one that's used here in the text tonight. The Holy Ghost is going to take care of you, Mary. And we get a hold of you, something's going to happen to you. The power of Almighty God is going to bring to you the second person of the Holy Trinity, and you're going to be the mother of the Son of God. Now mind you, Luke, who wrote the infancy narrative, put that word dunamis in that point, in that passage. He's quoting the Lord Jesus Christ in the last chapter as saying, "You stay in Jerusalem, just wait there, and you shall be endued with power from on high, and you're going to go ahead and be my servants, be my witnesses." All right, now in this first chapter of Luke, will you turn, please, to the 17th verse, just over to the 17th verse. And here we have the wonderful story about John the Baptist. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and," what is it? "Power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." You ran into that word power, didn't you? Well, in the Greek New Testament, it is dunamis. Same identical word. Now we have Luke giving us the infancy narratives, and here's the announcement that John the Baptist is going to go forth in the spirit and in the power of Elias. Elijah, the great prophet of God, called down fire from heaven. Elijah, who dealt with the prophets of Baal, who was fed by the ravens, and God looked after him. And John the Baptist is going to be like Elijah. And he was. They said he was Elijah. He had power. And he had the spirit, and he had the power of the prophet on him. Dunamis. Action. Well, if you start out with Luke and you run into the word power when you deal with John the Baptist, and you run into the word power when you deal with the birth of Jesus Christ, then you turn on through the Gospel of Luke and you run into the word power when Jesus Christ says, "Ye tarry here in Jerusalem and ye shall be endued with power from on high." Power is a very important factor in this whole matter of preaching the Gospel and of being a Christian and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let's turn toward the latter part of the chapters of Luke, and let's take a look at them for just a minute. Will you turn, please, to chapter 22, verse 69. And here in this 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, you come on down here to the end, and Jesus is before the Sanhedrin. He's on trial. "And as soon as it was day," beginning with verse 66, "the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, 'Art thou the Christ? Tell us.' And he said to them, 'If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God.'" You know the little Greek word that's used there? Dunamis. Dunamis. The Son of Man is going to be right at the hand of God, where all this power comes from. I'll be right there where that power is. Jesus Christ says, "You tarry in Jerusalem, I'll go up to sit with the Father is, I'll be at his right hand, and you're going to be endued with power. And that power is going to come right out of heaven. And that power which comes right out of heaven is going to be for the blessing of your soul, in order that you can be a faithful witness down here in this world of sin and death and tragedy and disaster, and that you can serve Jesus Christ." Well, let's turn over to chapter 21. The 21st chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Look down around that section about verse 27. But I'll begin reading with verse 25. Jesus is speaking here about the last days, and he says, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity." We've certainly got it, haven't we? "The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with," what is it? "Power and great glory." And the little Greek word that's used there in that passage is dunamis. Here is the Son of God coming in the clouds of heaven. The nations will have their distress and there'll be perplexities. But out of the heaven will come this one, and he will come with power and with great glory. And the power which he'll manifest when he appears in the clouds, the power which will be evident to us when he appears in the clouds, will simply be that he has that one little word which he speaks, and he's the only one who has the word. He's the only one can speak the word, but it's the word of power. And when he utters that little word of power, all of the dead in Christ will come up out of the graves in the likeness of the Son of God. Beloved, did you know that it's only in the Christian religion that you have power? Did you know that it's only in Jesus Christ that there is any power? It's all in him. And here Luke is telling us now, you go and tarry in Jerusalem and you wait there, he says, until ye be endued with power on high. And when that power comes, then you can go forth and be my witnesses and my servants. And you can build the church of Jesus Christ. Beloved, you can't live the Christian life in your own strength. You have to have the power of God to do it. You can't stand up against the devil in your own strength. You have to have the power of God to do it. You can't resist all the forces of evil that conspire to destroy us. You have to put on an armor which is the whole armor of God, and you must have the power of God to undergird you. You have to have power, beloved. And the only place you can obtain that power is in Jesus Christ. Now, all I've done thus far is to take the book of Luke. First chapter, John the Baptist had the power of Elias. Power of God overshadowed Mary. We've taken the last chapter where Jesus says, "Wait until the power comes, you tarry." And then we've seen Jesus there before the Sanhedrin. And he speaks about his own power. You see Jesus speaking of the end time and this great eschatological explosion which is to take place when he comes and the graves are all open. He's talking about power, power. Well, now let's turn over to the book of Acts, where Luke writes in the book of Acts. And let's see something of the reference to the power that we have there. Let's begin with the first chapter. It's amazing all through this book of Acts, the references that you have to this tremendous power which is manifest. But in the first chapter of the book of Acts, and beginning there with the 8th verse, Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power." Dunamis, that's what he's talking about. This thing that has action, has life, has animation to it. "After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they yet beheld him, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. In these two accounts that Luke gives us, one at the close of his gospel and the other at the opening of the book of Acts. The all-important thing in both accounts is that Jesus says, "Ye tarry and ye shall receive power." And that Jesus turns and says, "Ye shall receive power, and it shall be brought to you by the Holy Ghost. And when you've received that power, ye shall then be my witnesses." It takes power to make you a witness. It takes real strength in you to make you a witness to the Son of God. Well, let's look at another one of these beautiful references. Turn to the third chapter of the book of Acts. And notice along about the 12th, the 13th verse, right in that particular section. And here the apostle is speaking. And when Peter saw it, they just had this wonderful miracle of the man who was healed at the beautiful gate. He answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness that we had made this man whole? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just One, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are his witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of God," in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, and then Peter goes on with his speech. Peter said, "The power that healed this man wasn't mine. It belonged to the Lord Jesus. He gave it to me. The power. Now you turn to the fourth chapter and begin in the seventh verse. Peter's now before the Sanhedrin. "And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all the rest of them were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them," that is the disciples, that is Peter and John, "in the midst of them, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this thing? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, Ye rulers of the people and elders, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you." And notice verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with whom?" Jesus. Where'd they get their power? From the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's Peter, and here's John, and here are the disciples, and here they are opening the New Testament church, and here they are on the day of Pentecost. Here they are immediately preaching the glorious gospel, and the wonderful miracles are being wrought. And they testify that these miracles were wrought by the power of God. Turn to chapter 6, will you please, and look at verse 8. In every instance, you have this reference here, of course, to this dunamis, to this power. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Stephen. Then you have the account of how in the seventh chapter he was stoned. Jesus Christ said, "Ye shall be endued with this power, which I'll give you, I'll send it." Peter had it, John had it, the disciples had it, Stephen had it, they all had it. And because they had it, they went out and were witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now up to this time, all I've done is to give you Luke. The same man using the word power. The same man reporting the use of this word power. The same man showing us this power as it comes to the people of God as a promise that God gives to us. Now let's turn for a moment into some of these other wonderful references that speak of this power. And I want you to turn first to the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1. And then if we have a moment or two, I'll turn you over to the 1 Corinthians. But in Romans, I want you to notice verse 4. Paul says that he is the servant of Jesus Christ. And he's an apostle. He's separated to this gospel. And then he says concerning his son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with, what is it? Power. According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You know what that word power is? Dunamis, same power, same action, same activity, same animation, same life. And Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God. Oh, beloved, what in the world has happened to the Christian church that it doesn't believe in its power anymore? It doesn't understand its power anymore. It has separated itself from its power, and it's turned away from the message that has the power in it. Well, let's turn down a little further in this first chapter to the 18th verse. Well, it's the 15th verse, the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now we're getting right down to where you and I are right now. And the gospel which I'm preaching to you, my friend, which will save your soul from sin and death and hell, this is the gospel which is the power of Almighty God, whereby He makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. The gospel just isn't a good influence on somebody. The gospel just isn't a nice atmosphere that you get in and enjoy. The gospel isn't something that is a nice thing to talk about. No, beloved, the gospel is the power of God, and the gospel changes men. The gospel makes new creatures. The gospel brings a new birth. The gospel is the power of Almighty God. And our churches today have quit preaching the power of God, and they're asking the power of the political powers about us to work out their problems for them. That's our problem. It's the power of God which will take a sinner and make that sinner over and bring him out of death and out of his sin and make him a new creature in Jesus Christ. This is the Christian message. It's always been the Christian message. And it's the message of power. All right, just look a little further in that first chapter of Romans. You turn down to verse 20 and look at it. Paul says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal. You run into the word power again. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The power of God in his eternal being is manifest in the creation. The power of God in his eternal being is manifest in the resurrection. The power of God is in his eternal being, way back in the eternity of God. That power is made available to you, my friend, when you listen to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're dealing with a supernatural religion. There's no other religion like it. There's nobody else that has a message or a program or a gospel like this to preach to men. It's only the Christian faith that has it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible, because he has the power to do it. And that power is available for us today. Now let's turn over, please, to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Look at this one. I'm not going into the use of the word power as an authority. I'm not giving you that word. This is just dunamis tonight. This is the power that works. This is the power that explodes. This is the power that moves. But in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, you have several wonderful references to this matter. Notice verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Same power, same dunamis, same explosion, same animation, here it is. You talk about the power that gave the Virgin Mary the Son of God. You talk about the power that created the universe. You talk about the power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, we talk about it. But beloved, the world scoffs and mocks at the preaching of the cross, and they say it's foolishness. But if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, if you believe that the Son of God came and was crucified for your sins, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross to satisfy the demands of infinite justice against your disobedience, that gospel will be the power of God for your eternal redemption, and you will be saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that you're saved. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it simple? Isn't it plain? It's so clear. Look a little further in this first chapter. Notice, if you will, please, down about the 24th verse. Well, let me begin reading with verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God. The power of God. Christ is the power. Christ in you, beloved, is the hope of glory. No wonder Paul said at the close of Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the power, who strengthens me. And you need power to resist temptation. You need power to say no when the devil comes. You need power to make up your mind that you're going to come to the house of God and give your life on Sunday to him. You need power in you. You say, I'm weak, I can't go on. Beloved, the power and the strength is in the gospel, and the power and the strength is in Jesus Christ, if you'll just trust him. God wants you to let his power manifest itself through you. That's all he wants. My beloved, when you get in this power, you begin to rise and float. You say, isn't it wonderful? We've got such power and such resources. Well, let's let this power manifest itself in us when we stand up for Jesus, when we tell others about his love, when we identify ourselves with him upon this earth and his reproaches fall upon us.
Let the power of God be in you,
that you may give glory to the Son of God. Jesus said, ye tarry in Jerusalem. Ye tarry in Jerusalem. Don't you go away from that place until this power comes on you, and then ye shall be my witnesses. And then they went forth to preach, and they went forth, and they turned the world upside down, and they went forth with their message, and they weren't afraid of anybody. They put their confidence and their trust in Jesus Christ, and he delivered them. And I want you in 1964 to be a greater partaker of the power of God in your life. I'm not talking about something that's mystic. I'm not talking about something that you can't receive. I'm talking about the gospel which saves you, and then the power of God which indwells you and keeps you and brings you to the place where you, in the midst of your troubles, have assurance. In the midst of your disappointments, you have confidence. And in the midst of the tragedies that befall us, you have peace, because the power of God is upon us. And oh, as we move into this great passage in Philippians, we're moving into some great sections of Philippians now for Sunday morning as we expound this great epistle of Paul. But you find Paul saying that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Think of it. That I might know Christ and that power which was in his resurrection, that power which redeemed me, that power which sustains me, and that power which is going to gather me into the clouds when he comes in glory. My friend, you can go all around the world. You can listen to every religion, every philosophy, every ism that anybody ever talked about. But you'll not find this power that I'm talking about tonight, because it's only in Jesus Christ that it exists. Only in Jesus do you have salvation, and do we have power, and do we have strength. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Isn't it marvelous to feel that power undergirding, strengthening, renewing your faith, pressing you on, giving what you need to stand up in the face of the enemies of the gospel? Isn't it wonderful to have that power and to know that it's a gift from Jesus Christ? That's where it comes from. I said, ye go into all the world, you preach the gospel. And he says, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. My power will always be there with you. My friend, you can't live without the gospel. You can't exist without the gospel. You can't serve God without the gospel. You must have the gospel. And you must believe in the Son of God and delight in him. Thank God. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank thee for this power from on high that our Savior spoke about. And we thank thee that it's written all through this book. And we thank thee that it's written all through the pages of the history of the church and its struggle down here. And tonight, our Father, we thank thee that that power is in our presence now. May every man, may every woman, may every child, may every young person rest in the power of God and see the manifest of that power in us, as thou dost give unto us keen and clear discernment. And as we forsake the world with all of its enticements, and as we walk the path of righteousness with Jesus Christ, for his sake we ask it. Amen. Hymn number 17, I Need Jesus. Let's sing it. I Need Jesus.